The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good morning. Welcome to Age-Wise Living with Barbara Friesner. Barbara is here to keep you educated on elder care issues. She will give you the information you need to help your aging loved one and yourself. Now here is your host, Barbara Friesner.
Good morning and welcome to Age-Wise Living. Thank you all so much for joining us today, this day before the day before Thanksgiving. And I am your host, Barbara Friesner. My company is Age-Wise Living, and I am a generational coach. As a result of over 25 years as an elder caregiver, initially for my grandmother and then for the past 17 years for my mother who had dementia, I know how overwhelming and confusing and emotional and exhausting elder care can be. And it just breaks my heart to see families struggle to do one of the most loving things they can do, taking care of their aging parents. And that's why I started my company, Age-Wise Living, and became a generational coach to help other families navigate their journey through elder care. And as a generational coach, I work with the families, only the family, never the senior, and I work with families who are struggling to help their aging loved ones, their aging parents, whether it's parents or aunts or uncles or cousins or whatever. And I help them to know what to do, but more importantly, I think anyway, I coach them on how to communicate effectively so their parents will willingly do what is in their best interest. Now, ideally, if there are a number of siblings, usually they're spread out all over the country, so I work with all of them by conference calls because all generational coaching is by phone. But sometimes it's only the caregiver, the one, usually a daughter, but just one person, either because she's the only child or because there are other siblings or cousins or stepbrothers or sisters or whatever, but she's doing all the work. And either not getting any support, or she's finding that her sibs are actually sabotaging her efforts. So I coach her on how to either get them to actually help, or at the very least, not sabotage. But regardless of the situation, our main objective is that they all work together so that they confront the issues and not each other. In addition, I'm an adjunct professor at Cornell University, where I teach senior housing management. I write a free weekly newsletter with lots of great articles about issues affecting seniors and their families. And I write a monthly column for the National Association of Baby Boomer Women and a monthly column for Caregiving in America, a monthly national magazine. And to help people avoid problems before they happen, I also do speeches and workshops all over the country. And I am the creator of the Ultimate Caregiver Success System. A lot of kids only see their aging parents over the holidays, and they're really upset about how much they've aged. So suddenly they're starting off the new year thrust into the role of elder care provider for their parents. And they're suddenly thrown into the deep end, and they just want answers. You know, I hear this all the time, just tell me what to do and tell me how to do it. When I first started off, the internet hadn't even been invented. But now when you Google elder care, over 4 million things come up. I mean, how do you know what is the right answer? Where do you even start? So that's why I took my 25 years of personal experience and 10 years as a generational coach and created a very practical, usable package called the Ultimate Caregiver Success System. And it's on sale for $100 off the regular price just in time for the holidays. So if you're somebody who says, just tell me what to do, tell me how to do it, I want to help my loved one, but I don't know how to do it, then I really urge you to go to agewiseliving.com And check out the Ultimate Caregiver Success System. That's agewiseliving.com. And then also I have the show, Age Wise Living, because it's my mission to help as many family members as possible help their aging parents resolve their elder care issues by choice, not crisis. How can you care for a parent who never cared for you? How do you deal with a sibling that doesn't want to help care for you, for help you care for your parent, or a sibling with whom you don't have a good relationship? And how do you sustain your strength throughout all of this? These are questions that a lot of caregivers struggle with, which is why I'm so delighted to have two wonderful guests on our show today, Phyllis Goldberg and Rosemary Lichtman, who are going to answer those questions and lots more and help you heal the rifts of family relationships. Phyllis Goldberg is a marriage and family therapist, and Rosemary Lichtman is a psychologist. And together they have over 25 years of experience guiding thousands of women through personal and family crises. Friends and colleagues, they've known each other for years, so they are friends and colleagues, and they joined together nearly 10 years ago to form Her Mentor Center, where they provide education and support for women caregivers. And each of them has personally faced the difficulties of caring for aging parents, giving them an understanding of the struggles and the complex issues involved. And I think that's really key to being successful, is really understanding what's going on. Phyllis has participated from several thousand miles away in the care of her mother, and Rosemary moved both of her parents into her home, caring for them in the last decade of their lives. So using their own personal experience, they've led support groups for caregivers of loved ones with Alzheimer's and presented seminars on improving communication between family members and encouraging better self-care. Phyllis and Rosemary, the authors of over 80 articles published on the Internet, are now completing a manuscript providing women with smart strategies for reclaiming power when family relationships shift. You'll get a preview today of some of the tips for relieving stresses of caregiving and enjoying the opportunities it provides. And when they're not busy writing and blogging, both women enjoy long walks on the beach with their husbands, traveling, volunteer activities, and spending time with their grandkids. So welcome, Phyllis and Rosemary. I'm so thrilled to have you both here with us today.
Thank you, Barbara. We're so happy to be joining you and your friends out in the Internet Radio Network.
Well, thank you for having us, Barbara.
It is my pleasure, and I really appreciate you being here with us today. And let's start off with, I guess, one of the most difficult questions, and that is, how can you care for a parent who never really cared for you?
And that really is a very, very difficult situation to be in, because you're finding yourself kind of pulled both ways, one to do what maybe you think you should do, and the other being pulled by some of your past memories into a place maybe that feels more comfortable for you. I think one of the most important things when you're in that situation is to think about what you want to do and do that, not necessarily what's expected of you or what your parent wants you to do, but what's really in line with your own self-image and something that will make you feel good about yourself, and that when this whole situation is over, you won't have any regrets about how you've acted. You kind of have to give up expecting anything back from a parent maybe who hasn't given you anything before, and deal with that and just handle things as best you can.
And if, in fact, you decide to try and work with a parent who has never really cared for you, it's important to let go of some things. And I think one way to do that is to begin to talk about your disappointments. Perhaps, express your anger to your parent and then listen to what they have to say. Because toward the end of life, I think sometimes people feel more vulnerable and maybe even open to resolve some conflicts that went on earlier in the situation, and to practice forgiveness and letting go of resentments.
How do you do that? I mean, I agree with you, but that's a tough thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes you know, bringing in a third party can be helpful. And getting others involved in the care of your parent and spending time, the time that you do put in, doing things that perhaps you and your parent would enjoy, and then begin a dialogue around some of the past situations and resentments, and begin to practice the act of forgiveness.
Yeah, and I would imagine that, certainly it's important not to be angry when you express your anger.
Yes.
You know, it's important to say, here's how I feel. You know, I want to help you, but I, you know, it's been rough, and here are some of the issues that I've been angry about over the years. Maybe something like that. Is that what you recommend?
Yeah, and I think one of the things that, you're talking about is being prepared for the discussion that you want to have with your parents. And I think that's one of the reasons your whole materials are so important, because they get people to think about ahead of time what problems are going to come up.
And even bring in a third party in terms of a therapist or a coach like you, who will help somebody be prepared in a way that, you know, maybe has never been before or has allowed themselves to be open to that.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think that one of the most loving things that you can do is to help them, and yet it is difficult. And one of the things that I do recommend to people is that they, even if you don't like the person, you may have had a bad relationship, but really focus on the job at hand. You know, focus on what needs to be done, which you can be unemotional about, as opposed to focusing on how I feel about mom and all the, you know, 50 years or 60 years of experience that I've had.
I agree with you, and I think one of the things that once you begin to focus on the job, that's also important to do is to recognize what you can do and what it maybe is pushing you too hard, and arrange for other people to do some of the other things, so that you're not feeling overwhelmed
or pressured to do.
Pressured and overwhelmed to what you have to do, which is even harder when you don't want to do it to begin with.
Yeah, and that also helps to get some of the I don't know, panic probably isn't the right word, but being overwhelmed by all of it. And how do you let go of your old role with your parents and your expectations about what you thought would be their golden years?
Well, one of the things that, again, sometimes helps, I think, with this is writing things down and thinking about what you actually have lost, and really be concrete about the things that you're giving up, so you have a chance to actually deal with them and grieve the loss that you have.
And to recognize that you're perhaps, you know, afraid, sad. You know, denial is a very common defense against painful feelings, and it's hard to recognize these kinds of things, but beginning to do that in some ways will allow you to work through the normal feelings that everyone has at this time.
And the issue about golden years, is that because you thought everybody was going to be healthy and they were going to have this wonderful time, and now you're in an elder care position?
Yeah, you're either in an elder care position, or it just didn't work out exactly the way you had thought that these would be. But the truth is,
hold that thought, because actually time's going fast. I want to stop right here. We're going to take a short break, and we'll pick that up when we come back.
This is
Barbara Friesner, and you are listening to AgeWise Living. And our guests today are Phyllis Goldberg and Rosemary Lichtman. And when we come back, they'll be answering more questions about healing the rifts of family relationships. And to get more information about Phyllis and Rosemary and the work they do, just go to Her Mentor Center, HERMENTORCENTER.com. And it's a great website packed with practical tips that will help you to heal the family rifts. And they also have a great blog that I recommend you check out, too, called NourishingRelationships.blogspot.com. And with that, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Our elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind. Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and founder of Rock and Roll Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to the Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time here on News Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com. Radio by George is a lifestyle program dedicated to improving the lives of listeners by focusing on the holistic growth of their mind, body, and spirit. Host Eddie George shares his life experiences as well as the experiences of his guest commentators and experts with the listening audience to focus them toward reaching their personal and professional goals. Tune in every Monday afternoon at 1 p.m. PST, 4 p.m. EST to Radio by George on the Voice America channel and learn more from the life experiences of a man who went from being a somewhat unruly kid in the streets of Philadelphia to a retired professional athlete who has become a role model for not only young people, but for businessmen and women globally. Plan to spend your Monday afternoons with Eddie George and his empowering talk radio show, Radio by George. That's every Monday at 1 p.m. PST, right here on the Voice America channel.
Amanda, age 3. Tyler, age 8. Marissa, age 4.5.
We could tell you just how many child abductions last year led to Amber Alerts, but this isn't about cold statistics. It's about saving kids.
Shaniqua, age 14.
To get free Amber Alerts on your cell phone, go to wirelessamberalerts.org. When an alert is issued in your area, you'll receive it as a free text message. WirelessAmberAlerts.org. A child is calling for help. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain inspired really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, welcome back to AgeWise Living. I'm Barbara Friesner, and today we are talking with Phyllis Goldberg and Rosemary Lichtman, who are answering questions about healing the rifts of family relationships. And before we went on break, the question I was asking is, how do you let go of your old role with your parents and really the expectations about what you thought would be their golden years? And then I had to cut you off, so I apologize for that, but you were saying.
Well, just one last comment in that, you know, you're really giving up being the child and all that that means to you, and at the same time, you know, putting on a new hat and becoming the caregiver, so to speak, and, you know, that's often called a role reversal, and it's natural and it's normal, but it's hard, and it takes time to adjust to it, so.
And it takes time to adjust to it without treating them like children.
Absolutely.
Because the other thing that actually I think is a part of it is golden years aren't either black or white. Even though they're things that you do have to give up and what you thought your parents would be like at this age, there is still a role that your parents have. I mean, they still have the wisdom they've built up over the years. They've been the keepers of the family history, and so there's a lot that you can still learn from them. And I think your expectations about the life transitions that are going on need to include that you're going to also end up growing from this whole experience as well.
Well, I'm having trouble hearing you.
I'm sorry. Is that better now?
Yes. Thank
okay.
you. Yeah, and it's also because it's sometimes people get in so into their caregiving roles that they forget that it still is mom and dad and to still have that relationship. And sometimes they get so tied up in taking them to doctor's appointments and picking up the groceries and cleaning the house and, you know, all those kinds of things that they forget to really have that quality time with their parents while they still have the opportunity.
Exactly.
Now, a question, how can you respect your parents' dignity and still encourage them to do what is in their best interest?
This is a situation that often causes rifts in the family because as your parents are changing and you need to step up to the plate, this can often be a difficult situation for you. In some ways, you need to really present your position, but present it gently. And then put yourself in their shoes. Listen to what they have to say, to why they're resistant. And then, you know, involve them in the decision-making process. Make this a team effort. You know, bring in siblings or cousins that can be helpful, or perhaps a third party like a therapist or a generational coach. And you know, once again, make this a team effort and not just try and push your point.
I agree with Phyllis, and I think, you know, one of the things that sometimes we forget to do is to ask our aging parents what they want to do and why, and actually try to understand what their motivation is. You know, it may be very different than what you had expected, and it may be a very different motivation than what you have. But as long as safety is not involved, I think that the more you can brainstorm together about what's going to happen and what they want to do, the better off all of you will feel about it.
And if we can just think about, you know, autonomy and independence and how that feels to us and how important a quality that is in our lives, and that when we encourage them to do what's in their best interest, if they might not be approving, how difficult that must be for them.
Yeah, and I think what's really key is to understand that what's in their best interest, what we think is in their best interest, does not necessarily mean that they think it's in their best interest. So if it really is, then, you know, working with someone to help them to understand that it is in their best interest. But also, a lot of times, we don't ask.
Right.
You know, we just, you know, we're baby boomers, and we go in there. We're usually, you know, head on because we've got things to do, and that's how we do it. And so we sort of forget to ask our parents, and sometimes they've made arrangements or they've made decisions or they've done things to help themselves. And
that's a good thing.
And that's a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. But we don't ask them if they have, and so we don't know, and so there's, you know, naturally an element of pushback.
So, again, communication is one of the most important things we can do with aging parents or with anyone else that's important in our lives that we have a different perspective about.
Absolutely. Now, how do you get siblings involved who aren't interested in helping out? Because that's a huge issue where you have, you know, sometimes if you're not close to your parent, it's possible they're not either. And a lot of times I hear them say, you know what, I don't want to, no, I'm not going to.
Well, I think,
so how do you get them to help?
I think we just brought up communication, and I think that certainly is one of the most important parts of dealing with your siblings. And I think what you said about the, when you provide the services of doing a conference call maybe across the country between different siblings who can't necessarily get together, but they have a chance to at least all talk about what they can do and talk honestly about what the parents' needs are and what each sibling's boundaries may be, and again, try to ask, why aren't you helping? You know, what's going on with that?
Yeah. You know, Barbara, you mentioned earlier about if you can't get them to help, at least to not sabotage. And I think that was a really important point because very often, you know, old family dynamics crop up at these kinds of times of conflict. And it's hard to settle old family business and settle down the, you know, the sibling rivalry in the midst of something that might be going on that's difficult for everyone. And as Rosemary said, it's important to be direct about how you feel and what you need. And a family meeting is a great way to, you know, to go. And be willing to negotiate because not everybody's going to be able to get what they want, but everybody needs to have a voice and then to try and compromise so everybody can pitch in at least at some point.
And maybe the pitching in isn't if somebody doesn't have the time or ability to do something. Maybe the pitching in is financial,
mm-hmm.
where they can arrange to have somebody come in who they pay to do help with the care. So there's some respite for the main caregiver.
Great. And also sometimes even if the sibling is upset with their parent, sometimes if you ask them to help and to participate, to help you,
mm-hmm.
you know, I know how you feel about mom, but I need your help. This isn't, you know, I'm helping mom, but this is for me. Can you do this for
right.
me?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to get involved with her if you don't want to.
Because at times like this, often sibling relationships can strengthen. You know, you hear so many stories about fights over who gets what and that kind of thing. But it's a time when, you know, brothers and sisters and sisters and sisters can come together and really make a difference in the family life and with each other.
Absolutely. And that is one of those things where, and I think that's what happened with me and my sisters, and I was very fortunate with that. And that's what I encourage people to do, is to really think in terms of, you know, really focusing on what is best for mom and everybody working together, and also focusing on how much each person is doing, not so that it's even out, you know, I'm doing 2 hours, so you have to do 2 hours, but really thinking in terms of appreciating the caregiver and saying thank you, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of times they don't, you know, they're all, well, you should be doing this and you should be doing that, and they don't realize, wait a second, she's there every single day. So really, you know, expressing appreciation for the amount of work that she's doing and really acknowledging it,
right.
which I think is really key.
Right. Giving the caregiver credit, but I mean, I think another aspect of this, and it's kind of a segue, is for the caregiver to give herself credit as well and recognize, you know, what she's doing.
And I want to talk about that as soon as we come back from break,
right.
Because we're going to stop right here for a short break. This is Barbara Friesner, and you're listening to AgeWise Living. And our guests today are Phyllis Goldberg and Rosemary Lichtman. And when we come back, they're going to answer more questions about healing the rifts in family relationships. Want to mention again, to get more information about Phyllis and Rosemary and the work they do, go to hermentorcenter.com. Great website, and they also have a great blog that I really recommend you check out, and that's called nourishingrelationships.blogspot.com. That's nourishingrelationships.blogspot.com. I also want to remind you that you can give the gift of love to all the elder caregivers you know, including yourself, by checking out the Ultimate Caregiver Success System, because that also is going to help with all of the things we talked about, and you can get that at agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com. And with that, we will be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you.
To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. You have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, welcome back to AgeWise Living. And I'm Barbara Friesner, and today we are talking with Rosemary Lichtman and Phyllis Goldberg, and we're talking about healing the rifts of family relationships just in time for the holidays. And before we went on the break, I had asked about, you know, how do you get siblings involved? And you mentioned that it's also important to look for inner strength that you need as a caregiver. So what kind of inner strength do you need? Where do you look?
Well, I think the first step is to think about what has helped in past situations when you've been in a struggle or a conflict or in a situation that has been difficult for you. And there are, you know, a lot of ways to go. Certainly, if you journal about what's going on, it can help you pull some of the, be more reflective and pull some of your inner strength in that regard. But there are also external ways like faith, spirituality, a sense of humor that can really be helpful at these times. And talking to friends who have had similar experiences, who you trust, whose opinion matters to you, can really help you in this regard as well.
Yeah, and I love that you say a sense of humor, because that was something that really helped me a lot. And I could joke with my sister Catherine about things that were going on in a way that I could not joke with anyone else. You know, because she knew all the players and we had the same upbringing, we had the same experience, and we could have some real dark humor going on there. And it was very funny. And I think really having that sense of humor, and I do that with my coaching clients as well, and at the beginning I hear them sort of gasp, you know, and then they laugh out loud and say, you know, it feels so good to laugh because this is serious business, but it doesn't have to be,
right,
you know, serious all the time.
Right, and it's a catharsis, and it can, you know, stir up your endorphins, and it's a really a way to look at it from a different perspective and give yourself some comic relief.
And I think with that, one of the things that makes the humor possible is that you're able to set boundaries and kind of reestablish some routine in your own life where you do spend time taking care of what's important to you. For some people, that might be spending some time alone, you know, doing something that makes you feel more relaxed, or doing some meditation or relaxation exercises or some things like that. It kind of depends on when you know yourself better than other people do, and maybe a good run is a way to get your endorphins going, and maybe for someone else it's being able to rest and get enough sleep. So you do need the time away to recharge your batteries so that you can get back to doing what you're going to be doing.
Yeah, and it is so important, and I say it all the time. I know as a caregiver it was so difficult to do that. Because even when you're sitting there trying to have quiet time, your mind is still going and you're thinking of all the things. And, you know, it's just so important to have that have an opportunity to do something completely where your mind is not there at all.
Right.
How do you do that?
Well, I think trusting that you are an important person and knowing that, first of all, you're gaining some things from your role of caregiver by trusting yourself and what you can do, but you're certainly losing a lot of things, too, in terms of time and the focus of your life. So you need to give yourself credit for what you're doing and recognize that you deserve to have some time spent on yourself.
And the balance is really important because it's not going to be good for your parent or for yourself if you're burnt out or run down. And attitude is so important. And if you don't take care of your own needs, whatever that might be, by, you know, having lunch with friends or having a date with your husband one night or, as Rosalie said, you know, taking a run or relaxing, you're not going to be good for anybody. And that's just not going to be successful all the way around.
Yeah, and that's so true. That's so true, is that we always take care of everyone else, and we rarely put our own needs. You know, it's like, do I do it for myself or do I do it for my kids? Do I do it for myself? Do I do it for my mother or my husband or whatever? And we always put ourselves second, so I absolutely agree with you. Now, let's say that you have come up with this great plan. We'll call it Plan A. And what do you do if they refuse to do Plan A? Then what?
Well, and don't you always find it the case that Plan A usually doesn't work exactly the way we expected, and that you have to, when you're thinking out how to plan something, it's always good to let yourself brainstorm at that time and think about, well, what would my plan B be or my plan C? Because I am going to have to do some resetting of what I originally considered. So the options and the compromises that you have to go through are things that are going to come up for everyone. And so you do need to think about those ahead of time and be willing to give up your expectation that things are going to go perfectly, because they're not.
So flexibility, I think, is really an important factor here. And, you know, just like we discussed in encouraging your parents to do what's in their best interest while respecting their dignity, I think it's similar here in many ways. It's important to listen to why they might be resistant and, you know, integrate their expressed needs into the mix here. You know, maybe even rank order the priorities and, you know, fully explain the backup plan to them. And once again, make it a team effort, and hopefully with mutual, you know, goals and expectations, it might run a little more smoothly. But it's true, you know, nothing ever is perfect, and if we expect it, we're bound to be disappointed.
Yeah, and when my father was a stockbroker, and he said many years ago, and he said the secret to his success was that to never fall in love with your investments. And I think of that often when we're thinking about, you know, a plan that, you know, the caregiver has come up with a plan, and then they are so in love with their plan that sometimes they are, and for whatever the reason, because it's their plan or because it just works so well for them or whatever, that they sometimes get so enamored with it that they don't, you know, stop and consider that Plan B might be a really good plan, too. In fact, it might be a whole lot better. And if Plan B doesn't work, C might be completely
right.
Wonderful as well, or bits and pieces of each.
Well, you know, I think that, once again, flexibility is the key. And going back to the previous question, if we don't take care of our own needs, you know, we kind of barrel on. There's stress and pressure, and it's hard to be flexible. And if there's more balance in, you know, our lives, then perhaps we're better able to look at alternatives in a more positive way.
Yeah, and I think that's so true, is just having the clarity of mind that just having a little break can bring, and, you know, taking the vacation and taking even if it's a one day vacation, you know, but just taking time away to let your brain relax.
Right. It can give you a whole new perspective where something may come up to, you know, spontaneously in your thinking that you hadn't thought about before.
Yeah, one of the things that I do every morning is I take a long walk. It's usually about an hour and a half to 2 hours in Central Park in New York City, and I go out at 6:30. So I'm, you know, it's quiet and it's my time and no headphones, no nothing, because it's my time to just look around and just be there, and it's my head time. And I'm amazed at how many things come to me while I'm walking that are brilliant ideas. Mm-hmm. I think they're brilliant ideas because I'm not working it.
Right. Well, you're a good role model for the caregivers, Barbara, because that's exactly what's important.
Well, thank you. I think that it's I never really realized how important it was until now, and it's I love it.
And I think your dad's advice got you off on a good foot. I've never heard that used in other situations of not falling in love with your investments, but you're exactly right that that is something to look to use to look at this kind of situation where you're trying to come up with something that will work, but you need to be flexible about it.
Yeah, and that also, I think, is a way to help with sibling issues, because sometimes we get so tied into our point of view that sometimes our sibling may, we don't listen, or we do listen and we poo-poo it or whatever, an idea that might come from our sibling, when in fact it might just be a different way of doing it.
Mm-hmm. That's why the team approach is good, because people do have different perspectives, and if we're open to listening, you know, we can come up with a plan that might be better with all our heads together.
Now, how and where do you look for support? I mean, because in all of this, one of the things that caregivers really do need is to have support for themselves. So how do you do that? How do you find it? And where do you find it?
Well, I think you start with, what's closest to you, and then you move out in kind of concentric circles. So you may start with other people in your family or your friends, and then maybe look in your local community for resources and on the Internet. Using different kind of facilitators such as yourself and materials that they have available that can really suggest different things to do. Sometimes the government actually even has some support that goes out to caregivers. So I think it's important to kind of start small and move out big and catch in whatever may be out there in your net.
And there are really kind of two levels of support. I mean, there are probably more, but, you know, two come to mind. And one is sort of the emotional, and the other is the practical. And to bring balance in those as well, because family, close friends who have aging parents themselves, I mean, there's a lot of support you can get. And that can build your inner strength from talking together and being there for each other. And then, of course, community resources and a support group or a coach, a therapist, a geriatric care manager, they can all help you with resources that are, you know, more practical and that you may have no information about, and they can be a fund of knowledge that can be helpful for you.
Yeah, and your local area on the aging, and looking it up on the internet is usually a very good resource as well. We're going to stop for another short break. This is Barbara Friesner, and you're listening to AgeWise Living. And our guests are Phyllis Goldberg and Rosemary Lichtman. And we're talking about healing the rifts of family relationships. When we come back, that's the question I'm going to ask. And to get more information about Phyllis and Rosemary and the work they do, go to HerMentorCenter.com. HerMentorCenter.com. Great website, lots of information, and go to their blog. I really recommend that you do that. Check out their blog, which is at nourishingrelationships.blogspot.com. That's nourishingrelationships.blogspot.com, and it is a great blog, so I suggest you do that. And with that, we're going to take a break, and we will be right back.
News. Opinion.
Can you hear me?
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
It's all about action. Touchdown! Scores.
Taking a look at the NBA tonight.
Highlights.
He's at the 30.
And headlines.
Big trade in the NFL this afternoon.
When you are looking to talk sports, look no further than the Voice America Sports Network. We bring you some of the biggest names and all the sports news you can handle. Whether it's basketball.
Off the glass.
Football.
Come on.
Golf. Racing. Or the Olympics. We've got you covered. We'll even cover tailgating. Into the Voice America Sports Network. It's all things sports.
How many of us haven't felt ripped off at one time or another?
Don't you wish you had someplace to tune in for the answers? Join Jennifer Litwin every week on The Shop Cop. She'll take the time to explain real value and keep you away from the fraud that's out there in the shopping world. Jennifer has become the shopper's advocate, which means she can get you on the right track. Her guests are a who's who in the retail world. Don't get caught making a mistake in this down economy. Jennifer Litwin is here to help. The Shop Cop, live Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. You have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, welcome back to AgeWise Living, and I'm Barbara Friesner. My guests today, two of them, one is Phyllis Goldberg and one is Rosemary Lichtman. We're talking about healing the rifts of family relationships. So what are some of the ways to heal a rift?
Well, I think one of the most important things is to put yourself in the other person's shoes and try to think about how that can be a very different position than the one you're in and very different motivations that are going on there. So in order to do that, we mentioned communication before, and I think communication is definitely one of the ways to begin the process of actively listening to the people in your family that you have a rift with and really begin to understand where they're coming from and to explain your own position without blaming or arguing about it.
And the, you know, it's called I messages, where you, instead of pointing the finger and blaming, you take some responsibility and talk about how the situation or the conflict is making you feel, so the other person doesn't need to get defensive and defend themselves, but could perhaps be more open to hearing what you have to say. And developing, you know, conflict resolution skills, whether you, you know, talk about it yourselves or read a book or attend a seminar. You know, there are a lot of ways to bring down the, you know, the temperature by, you know, counting to 10, walking away, using I messages.
Now give me an example of I messages.
Pardon me?
Give me an example of I messages.
Well, instead of saying, you know, to a sibling, let's say, you know, you never help with mother and I'm left with all the responsibility and I'm just sick of all this. Which, you know, how are you going to respond to something like that? It makes you feel bad and mad and certainly not willing to have a conversation. You might say something like, you know, it's been really hard for me. I feel like I'm carrying the share of the, you know, the major share of the load and I really need some help here. Can we talk about some things that we might be able to do together?
Okay.
And it's the same content, but just a different presentation.
Great.
And then following it up with, you know, it really helped when you did such and such, so that if you can find something positive that that they did do in the past, that you can remind them that that was very helpful, rather than just focusing on what isn't helpful.
And to focus on, you know, the strengths, you know, what you do best, what they do best, being willing to change your attitudes together, talking about ways that you can change and cooperate in ways that might be more helpful all around. You know, being realistic about, you know, often this family history and whatever the rift is, whether it's with a parent or a sibling, or it's probably got a very long history and it might not be perfect. So once again, as we've talked before in the hour, about having realistic expectations and to work with that and not to set yourself up for disappointment.
Yeah, and to not think in terms of everything is going to, you know, it took 20 years to get this way.
Right.
But one giant leap, one master solution is going to make, you know, change it overnight.
Right.
But it took time and it's going to take time to resolve the issue as well.
Right. And some acceptance of what is. I mean, I think in any life situation, if we're willing to accept that some things might not change or we'll be able to make some movement but it won't be perfect, that goes a long way in, you know, in helping us handle the situation better.
And let me ask you, what is, we're getting toward the holidays, what is the best gift that you can give yourself and your parents as it relates to all of this?
Well, I think the gift of time is certainly one of the most important ones, because they're here for a certain amount of time, and if you can enjoy them while they're here and really appreciate, pay attention to what's going on with them in terms of the details that you like, where you can sit and spend some time talking with them and reminiscing about the past, because usually when you ask your parents questions about the past, they'll remember them sometimes even better than the present. And you'll have a chance to kind of learn about the past family history, and you'll also get a chance to see what your parents were like when they were younger. So the more you listen to their stories, the more they'll enjoy the attention and the interest in them, and the more memories you'll be able to build for later.
And I think it makes it so much easier to do the work when you get a chance to really understand the other person and to really have an opportunity to really see things from their point of view.
Well, and you said earlier, Barbara, you know, the caregiver is often so involved with the practical taking care of business that to step back and really enjoy time together, you know, going for a walk or going to a movie or reminiscing, you know, we don't give ourselves that opportunity often, and it's a really important aspect. Hearing more of their stories and expressing gratitude are, you know, two ways to develop, you know, greater intimacy toward end-of-life issues and to learn more about them both in the past and how they're feeling now, because especially when someone isn't well, it can be a pretty frightening time, and being willing to sit with them and talk about, you know, how they feel and how you feel can really be a bonding experience between a parent and child that really can't be achieved in many other ways.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest gifts you can give to yourself is, even if it didn't magically heal everything, you know, after they die that you did everything you could, so
right,
you don't have
exactly
to carry
right
that guilt. You know, I'm so sorry. That is actually all the time that we have today. The time went so fast, which was, this was great. And I'd like to thank you both so much, Phyllis Goldberg and Rosemary Lichtman. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you
for
having us. Right.
And I also want to remind you that you can get more information about Phyllis and Rosemary and the work that they do at hermentorcenter.com.
and check their blog at nourishingrelationships.blogspot.com. I also want to remind you so much that to think about giving the gift of love, to give the gift of love to all the elder caregivers you know. Give the gift of love to yourself and be wonderful to yourself. And doing that by taking a look at and getting the Ultimate Caregiver's Success System. To do that, just go to agewiseliving.com. But it's one of those things, it's for people who say, just tell me what to do, tell me how to do it, and it's all there because I just want it to be easy for you. So, and I just, because it breaks my heart when it's really hard. So to do that, just go to agewiseliving.com. I also want to remind you to tune in next Monday morning, next Tuesday morning, December 1st, can't believe it's December already, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, when we're going to have a really fun topic, which is called Great Creative Gifts for Your Aging Parents. I had a great time today. I want to thank you all so much for listening. So until next week, this is your most appreciative host, Barbara Friesner, saying have an absolutely wonderful Thanksgiving. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We appreciate your joining us for AgeWise Living with host Barbara Friesner. Please tune in again next Tuesday morning at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern, here on the Voice America Variety Channel.